This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Perpetually standing in the breach and always ready to stay in the fight. Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. Presented by AR-500 Armor. The Armored Republic cometh. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number two. Coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio. This is Lock and Load. Nine 11. I was getting ready to go to work on September that morning, and I saw the second plane go in, and I sort of guessed what was going on then. And what I really remember about that was, one, we were losing a lot of people in this, and two, I really wanted to go back in the military and find out who did this and go get some. And, of course, I didn't get to do any of that. All we could do is, like everybody else, is watch. But not all of us watched. Thus brings us to my next guest. His name is George Fowler. He is the president of the New York Center for EFT, the director of training, Greenwich Center for Hope and Renewal. And, George, if I'm correct, you were also on September 11th, 2001, you were also a first responder that day, weren't you?
That's correct, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. You were in the fire department?
Yes.
Okay. So when on a regular day in New York City with all of those, it has to be a logistical nightmare to be a firefighter fighting a fire in a high-rise.
It certainly is. It's what we like to call controlled chaos.
Yeah.
You got a million variables, but, you know, there's a lot of skills and a lot of proven tactics. So, you know, the guys are pretty professional in how they attack it.
So, what was it like when you heard that there was a fire in the New York Trade Center as you guys were riding downtown? And I'm sure you could see it from blocks away. And because you lived in that area, you knew, I mean, you know, when you're looking at the pictures on camera and everything, you don't really have a sense of scale. So that looks like the hole looked like that could have been made by a Cessna, but that was made by an airliner. And, when you were riding down, when you guys were coming down the street and you looked up, and when were you headed there? Had the second tower already been hit?
It had been. I was actually at home. I was off that day. I was outside trying to mow my lawn. And I got a phone call from the neighbor, turn on your TV, and, you know, like everyone else, I was like, holy cow, figured out pretty quickly what was happening. And all New York City firefighters got recalled, so we were all ordered to report to our firehouses. My firehouse was up in Harlem. So by the time I raced into the city, I lived outside the city, the first tower had collapsed. And we commandeered a bus because, you know, you have to leave your firehouse in service to protect the area you're in.
Right.
And we loaded it up with all our gear, and we headed down to the site. And by that time, the second tower just had come down. So, yeah, I mean, TV, what you see on TV is one thing, but just nothing could prepare you for that massive void in the city that you would never see. It was like being on another planet, really. Just all this.
So both of them had come down by the time you got to it, right?
It had come down by the time. World Trade Center 7 building had not come down yet, but the two World Towers had.
Could you hear that where you were? Was the sound as prevalent as I think it probably should have been when those buildings were coming down? Did you hear it and could you feel it?
I did not, because we were in that time loading up the bus and getting everything ready. You know, you certainly could see it from Harlem, and we're 143rd Street, so we're quite a ways away from that. But you know, it just cast the cloud over the whole city.
And you rode into it anyway, which even after it came down, that was not exactly a walk in the park to go in there and try to start sifting through it, was it?
Well, that's the thing. It's so many of our leaders were lost that day and were missing, and we were all pretty much assured that there were going to be other attacks, and we had no idea what was going on, but we also know there were lists of thousands of firefighters missing and thousands of people missing, and we have a job to do, so we headed right into it.
Did you know any of the ones of the firefighters that were missing?
Yeah, I had a bunch of friends, a bunch of guys I work with.
So I can only imagine, and I mean, I'm ex-military, so I can only imagine when you're going into that and realizing the enormity and you're trying to wrap your head around what you're seeing, how hard was that to do?
Yeah, I don't think you could wrap your head around it. I never saw anything like that before, and I was at a bunch of plane crashes and different things and nothing like that afterwards. It just, I think, for being military, a firefighter, we're fixer type of guys, and the degree of helplessness on that scene was like nothing. I mean, it was just acres and acres. Where do you start? And the fires were roaring. You had no water, and anything you tried to do, nothing worked. And you were convinced you'd find some people alive, and you couldn't find anybody alive. It really truly was a nightmare.
Now I'm going to presume that you have spoken with survivors and of people that were there in there that were there before the buildings came down.
Yep.
So I'm sure that added to the trauma. But besides it being chaotic, what is about the tallest building that a fire department, where they can engage the building and try to save the building and the people in the building, how tall is a building like that going to be with a fire of that magnitude?
We're going to go into any building, the New York City Fire Department.
Well, I know that. I know you're going to go into it. That part of it is not in doubt. But, I mean, facing what they were facing, I'm going to presume that somebody thought that this was something they could fight, that they could come in, go in, and did it matter? Did it matter whether or not it was? They knew it was going to be successful? They just said, this is what we got to do, we go.
That's it. You got to go. Actually, my old captain, Captain Patty Brown, the most decorated firefighter in New York City Fire Department, a Marine and a Vietnam veteran, he had climbed up 70 flights. He was leading the attack. And, that was their can-do attitude, that there are people there and you got to be there. I mean, certainly we're trained to look for signs of collapse, and we didn't see any of that. And guys were literally dodging jumpers and people splattering all over the place as you're trying to get in. And you just can't, you can't stop and allow that to distract you from, they could put that fire out. They went in there believing they could.
Yeah. We're going to talk about all that stuff and everything. Tell me a little bit about this organization that you are the president of, the New York Center for EFT.
Well, it's after 9/11. I was also involved doing critical incident stress debriefings when you go to firehouses who lost 14 guys, 16 guys, and try to help out. And, there's a lot of things that we expect after disasters, acting out behaviors, alcoholism, violence, stressed out marriages. And, so I was involved in trying to help that. And the problem was there was so much, I was trying to do so much to help out so many people and help out families and widows and still work at the site and then do this stuff, that my marriage was really struggling after 9/11. And I really didn't have a way of talking to my wife about a lot of this or my son. So, it was really looking bleak for me there for a while. And
yeah.
I found a way of doing it differently and communicating with my wife, a type of a model called emotionally focused therapy that saved my marriage. So surely after that, a couple of years, I really made it my mission to kind of help other first responders and military who are in similar situations kind of do it differently. I don't think the price to accomplish the mission should be the failure family at home. So there's
right.
A lot of science now and research behind how to kind of make relationships stronger. So I really headed in that direction.
Let me get you to hold right there. We're going to be right back. What's the name of it? And we're going to talk about the book you just put out, too. We'll get to that when we get back. George is a first responder. He was with the Fire Department of New York on September 11, 2001. He got there right after the buildings fell. He is now the president of the New York Center for EFT and the director of training for Greenwich Center for Hope and Renewal. This is to remember everybody that didn't walk out of those buildings. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
Who needs a Boyd's Hardwood gun stock? Everyone. Crack stock? Back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood gun stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Yesterday, something that we should never ever forget. We should never forget it to make sure it doesn't ever happen again, and we should never forget it for the people that we lost that day. Didn't get to make it on the air yesterday, but I am trying to make up for that by speaking to a first responder from the Fire Department of New York at the time. His name is George Fowler. He is also a director of the New York EFT, in addition to some other things. Tell me about the book, please, sir.
Well, I think 9/11 was certainly a defining moment for me. And, you know, when evil strikes, it really, for us to make sense of it, we have to find some redeemable, some good. So the book is really my story after 9/11 of how I tried to make sense and then turn this tragedy into helping people learn to talk about things. I think as a firefighter and some of the work that I do with the military, you know, there's a saying in the firehouse, whatever you see here stays here.
Right.
And certainly you don't want to talk about a lot of the gruesome details and things you experience. But after 9/11, because it was dragged on for month after month, and, you know, I was working 120-hour weeks, and, you know, this massive distance was kind of creeping up in my relationship. And I had no idea how to talk about, you know, that feeling of helplessness or that anger and rage I was feeling and, you know, these people who did this and the sadness of my friends lost. And my wife was trying to protect me, and she wasn't talking about all her fears. I wanted to join the military right afterwards, and she said, I can't lose you, you know. So there was so much, and yet we couldn't talk to each other.
Right.
You know, and the only difference between the best couples in the world and the couples who don't make it, they all have the same issues, but the best couples have this way of communicating where they could repair a distance. They could have a way of coming back towards each other, and, you know, most of us don't get help to do that. So that's really what I wrote this book, True Connection, about. How do you help couples repair, have these difficult conversations? And what's pretty remarkable is, you know, it's easy to love people when, you know, things are going well, but we actually need it the most when we're struggling. And yet most of us find ourselves pretty alone when we're struggling. I wouldn't run into a fire alone, and I know, you know, people don't charge a machine gun alone. We do it because we got people around us, and, you know, there's no difference in relationships.
Sure. I don't know if you've made this reference yet or not. Did you and your wife make it through this?
We did.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's excellent, in fact.
20 years. We just went to. I had to work at a Pearl Harbor to present, you know, to the military, and it was our 20-year anniversary. So we just had a second honeymoon there.
So you guys were just about newlyweds when 9/11 happened.
Yeah, we were pretty newly married.
George, how old are you, son?
Hey, I'm 48 years old.
Ah, you're still a junior there, boy. I get you. All right. Let me ask you this. Let's talk psychological, because I'm sure that you dealt with a bunch of firefighters that were there that did survive. Now, I'm going to tell you that one of the things that bothered me the most about 9/11 and the people that were in the towers were the jumpers. That moment. I mean, trying to have that empathy to where you understand what it means to say to yourself, okay, 13 seconds of fresh air and it's over. And, I mean, your buddies heard this and in some cases probably saw it and still went in. What kind of psychological impact did that have on some of your people?
Certainly disheartening. I mean, we're trained to block a lot of things out, but just the sound of a body exploding from that height is just, that does not unnerve you to know that it's so bad in there that people are kind of driven to do something like that. So yeah, there are a lot of people that have, you know, post-traumatic stress and, you know, can't escape some of those memories that are burnt into their brain. It's not even some of the sights, it's even the sounds for a lot of these firefighters.
Yeah, I have heard recorded some of the sounds where they're hitting apparently like a glass overhang or something.
Right.
And I can only, you know, it sounds, you know, terminal velocity for a jumper when you jump out of an airplane, I think is 127 miles an hour. I'm sure they got to that. And, you know, just the thought of that being the, when somebody looks at that and sees that as a good idea, and I'm sure that was not lost on your people.
Yeah.
The degree of hopelessness those people must have had to do that. So, of course, they vanished when the towers came down too, didn't they?
They did. They did. And it just shows you, though, how horrible. I mean, when there's a fire, especially in a high rise, it is literally like an oven.
Yeah.
If you have a window open, all that fire is coming right towards you. So those people jumping, they really didn't have much of a choice.
No, they didn't. Now, how many firefighters were lost that day?
343 firefighters.
300.
Which
so,
to date is the largest loss of single, you know, in one day of emergency personnel in the history of the recorded world.
I'm going to presume there were other first responders there, too, as like EMTs and cops and Port Authority people and all that other stuff. So just firefighters alone, it was how many? 300 and what?
43.
Were there whole firehouses lost out of that?
Whole firehouses, double firehouses, you know, and it came at the worst time because it was the change of tours. So, you know, extra guys jumped on because they knew this was a big fire and they wanted to help out. So it was a bad timing for us.
Yeah. So you and your colleagues, after losing all of those firehouses, did you have to go and help the new people coming in to train and, you know, be in this place where your friends used to hang out, and you're reminded of them every time you turn left, right, or face forward? And
exactly.
Did you
get relocated to different firehouses because they had nobody to cover the firehouses? You'd be in different areas. You're trying to train new people. And you got all this flood of new people being hired to fill in the ranks, and then you have all these, you know, thousands of guys that are sick, and you know, I think it's about 500 guys who've died with the World Trade Center illnesses since then. So it's really wreaked havoc on the New York City Fire Department. But, you know, we're a quite resilient group, and, you know, we find a way.
Yeah. So coming up on that, we got about a minute to go in the next break. What's the name of the book, and where can they find it?
Well, there's two books. The Sacred Stress was a book I wrote 2 years ago, which is really just trying to get people like 9/11 to see, you know, it's horrible, but there's also opportunity in stress. And we live in a culture that wants to avoid stress. And people who try to avoid stress don't grow. You know, and it's the people who learn to embrace stress are the ones that actually live the richest lives. So it's so much of the research and stories behind how to help people do that. And the other book is True Connection. That's really trying to help couples repair and have these conversations to head towards each other instead of away from each other in these times of great need.
Right. Yeah, that's. I'm pleased that you and your wife managed to work that out because pleased for you because you shouldn't let that. And the fact that you did work it out. I don't have the words, George. I'm sorry. It's, my vocabulary is failing me. You get the impression, though, right? Good.
I do, and I appreciate the kind thoughts.
Yes.
It's a terrible price, and that's why I'm so passionate about this. I mean, I was down at after Katrina and down at Fort Hood after the shooting, and, you know, given my training, I've been all over the different, you know, military bases, Fort Bragg, Fort Jackson.
Let me get you to hold right there, and we'll pick that up when we get right back. Talking to George Fowler, author and first responder at 9/11. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expansive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. Designed by a U.S. Army sergeant after a deployment in Iraq. This is Sheath Underwear. Sheath is a high-performance, high-functioning underwear. Segmented where it counts, reducing irritation and chafing. At home, in the car, on the field, in competition, or in combat. Sheath Underwear keeps you cool and allows you to focus on the task at hand. Sheath Underwear is dedicated to health, fitness, and style. Sheathunderwear.com. It will change the quality of your day-to-day life.
Communities along the North and South Carolina coast are preparing for Hurricane Florence. The storm is expected to make landfall late Thursday or Friday. There is a mandatory evacuation order in effect for South Carolina. Horry County, South Carolina Police Chief Joseph Hill says if you're going to stay back, here's what you need to do.
You're going to stay. You're staying at your own risk. Go ahead and take a magic marker or a permanent marker and write on your left arm your name and your next of kin. It is just that serious. so we can identify the body in the event tragedy strikes.
Ambassador Nikki Haley warned Syria of dire consequences if the violence in the region escalates. Former Secretary of State John Kerry joined Fox News to talk about the president's plan towards Syria.
I agreed with President Trump's use of force. I thought it was the appropriate thing to do. What I think was missing and is still missing is the diplomatic initiative, because there's not going to be a military solution to the opposition in Syria.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife. So I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
This is Lock and Load. I am talking to George Fowler. He was a first responder on 9/11. Now he is a survivor, an author, and doing outreach to help other survivors. Was one of your problems, George, when in the days immediately after that, was part of that problem? Were you having trouble with survivor's guilt?
Yeah, everybody. You know, what tours did you do? Mutual? Why me? Why not someone else? I mean, it's just a way, and it's pretty predictable after a disaster because there's so much helplessness, and you know, you're just trying to wrap your brain around it, and that kind of guilt just gives you a sense like you have some control here.
Right. Did you and the Fire Department of New York, did you guys develop a way to handle that in the new world? I mean, is that... Do you now look at things now and say, I mean, are there contingencies for these horrible case scenarios?
There are. I think that's some of the good news after 9/11. I mean, first of all, just how people came together. I mean, to go down there every day and just find nothing and just try to get body parts, and it was just such a disaster. And you know, have thousands of people lined up regardless of nationality or you know religion, all kind of united. I've never seen our country so united as after 9/11. So I think it gives us a good marker on what it could look like, you know, especially as we seem to be going in a different direction. But yeah, it's even now, as you talk about it, I could see the images coming back, and you know, it just gets quite emotional.
I can imagine. I was filled with, you know, I went and grabbed my kids out of school that day when that was happening. I was in military intelligence, and I understood exactly what kind of an attack this was. And you know, it's a little bit like trying to figure out where a missile's going to hit.
Right.
And it was, despite its, it was relatively short, it still did a lot of damage. And it was, I don't understand why we didn't see it coming. I mean, 10 years before that happened in my last briefing in military intelligence, stuff like that was being forecast.
It's shocking it hasn't happened since on a major scope like that. I mean, we prepare all the time in the fire department for these disasters now. So I think we have learned a lot of valuable lessons, and I think there's a lot of resources that go before it happens. What I'm really trying to focus on is what happens afterwards.
After.
You know, after everybody leaves and all the news coverage stops, that's when the real work begins, especially at the family level. I mean, we have this hurricane coming up, and you know, people got to protect their homes and what could happen, and looters, you know, and, you know, so much emphasis rightly goes towards that, you know, but I just want to also bring attention to people that afterwards is when people actually might need the most help.
Well, I mean, do you find it gratifying that with certain exceptions, I mean, this happened in New York, and New York is sort of an interesting place as far as the attitudes there and everything else, and yet on that day when that happened, like you said, when the nation was looking at New York, everybody was feeling like they were part of New York because they were looking at the people of New York. Was it gratifying for you? And was it helpful for you first responders that got there, that did everything you could and lost some of your people? Was it gratifying to know that the nation was behind you?
It was gratifying. It was a mixed blessing. And on one hand, certainly we didn't want the attention to be heroes. The heroes died that day. You know, we didn't find anyone alive. We were just doing our job. But just to recognize that everyone was tapping into what made us American. You know, our shared values and you know, just I think that's what a disaster does. That's what adversity does. It, you know, we all want to be happy. We want to be free. You know, we might have our differences in the content on the surface, but when you go underneath, it's the same stuff. And, you know, that was actually the search dogs, to give you a good example, each day they'd go try to find somebody. They wouldn't find anybody alive. After a couple of weeks, the dogs were getting depressed. I mean, it's just grinding when you can't do your job. So what we'd have to do is hide some firemen who were alive just so the dogs can feel good about themselves and find somebody. You know, that's what the people did for us. You know, they just gave us that little extra energy that people were noticing, and we were feeding off that energy. So that really was helpful.
As now with what you do, since you characterize that as your defining moment, do you think that this is you found your purpose? You worked through that yourself, and now you have a higher purpose. It sounds like you see most people don't understand what you're talking about when the TV cameras shut off and everything else. When one of these events occurs, when the news shifts to who won the Super Bowl or the latest political scandal or something, these guys in New York, these firemen that were there then, they still deal with this daily.
Right.
It never goes away. It's never something that is completely absent from them. And for you to have found a way to help others deal with it, have you seen that bear fruit? Have you been tested with that, and have you guys made the difference that you want to make?
Absolutely. I mean, if you would have told me something good would come of this, you know, after 9/11 with all the losses I experienced, I probably would have punched you in the face. You know, but to see, looking back 17 years later, I could see God's fingerprints all over this thing, you know, as far as how, you know, these crossroads, decisions I made really has put me, you know, the tip of this spear to try to help people put words to things that normally we don't talk about. I mean, if you look at our soldiers, and there's such horrible statistics and broken marriages and addictions and suicide, and, you know, there are reasons for that. If you look when they go downrange, I mean, the levels of engagement are so high. You sleep and eat and laugh, and you spend every moment. You're headed into battle together. I mean, these soldiers are hugely engaged and connected. And then they come home, and nobody really can relate to their experience. They're cut off from their, you know, their platoon, and they're, you know, they're on their own.
Yeah.
They go to this mass level of disconnection. And then we wonder why they struggle and have symptoms. And that's exactly what we experienced after 9/11. You know, these guys, you're working all the time, but you can't really talk about what's going on. And the toll that takes, you can do it in the short term, a fight-or-flight response. But when you're stuck on a fight-or-flight response, response for months. I mean, that cortisol and adrenaline just chips away at you.
Yeah. Well, that cortisol is a very bad thing for everybody. Cortisol is very, very bad. Now, one more time, real quick. You named the books. Where, name the books again and tell us where we can find the books.
Sacred Stress is one book, and the other one is called True Connection.
Okay. And they're available where?
Available at all bookstores or at Amazon or even my website, georgefowler.com.
Was it cathartic to write The Sacred Stress?
It was. I think it brought some healing to make meaning out of such tragedy, and, you know, to know that you're trying to help other people learn from your experience, learn from your mistakes. I think as firefighters, you know, our tactics are proven, and when they don't work, we adjust them. You know, so I'm trying to apply those same tactics to relationships so people don't have to experience. Like one of my sons hits a home run, it's easy to love him when things are going well, but when he strikes out, he needs it the most. And yet that's what we're seeing so often. People after trauma are totally handling it on their own. And then we blame them when they're not doing well.
The only time I normally get this kind of clarity, George, is when I'm talking to combat vets, because, you know, that's the kind of thing that you hear from somebody that's been through a lot of trauma and learned how to excise the fat from the argument and get out there and just deal with the logical points that are available as they are. Yeah. So, coming up on the next break, George Fowler, author and, president of the New York chapter of EFT Outreach, trying to help people deal with the unspeakable that most of us will never, ever know. And he has to deal with it. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Never ever forget. Never ever forget 9/11. This should be something that is chiseled, laser etched on our psyche to make sure that it never happens again. And we need to remember the people that we lost, and we need to remember the people that had to deal with that loss personally. Like my guest, coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. I am talking to George Fowler. He was a first responder during 9/11, and he is now an author and a director of outreach programs to help people get over this kind of thing. Do you think we'll see the likes of this again?
I do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There are too many bad people out there determined to wreck our way of living.
New York is sort of a target for that, aren't they?
It is, but I think, you know, that target is spreading all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Still, the whole dynamic of that day, of where the attack occurred, the fact that I would have looked at that, you know, if it's me. And I'm in the, you know, I'm a military guy, but at the same time, I would be looking at ways to mitigate what I thought was happening. You guys didn't do that. You weren't worried about mitigating. You decided to confront it. And, I believe that, you know, my immediate reaction was to strike out against whoever this was. And of course I couldn't. I was past that moment when I could have done it. And, I completely understand you wanting to join up and go, because I wanted to join up and go, and I think I was 40 when that happened. So, I don't know. Now, in New York, were something like this to happen again, has the fire department of New York figured out what to do the next time?
I don't know if you could ever figure out what to do with something like that, but I think we're doing the best we can. I mean, the large-scale drilling and planning operations are, you know, ongoing, and the research, the intelligence, you know, trying to prepare for everything from a chemical to nuclear to biological. I mean, and the coordination between different agencies. I mean, I think all of that stuff has really improved.
Do you think the New York powers that be now? New York has their own counterterrorist unit, right? The NYPD.
Right.
And I'm sure, are you guys part of that coordination? Are you in on that as well?
Oh, we are, and they've obviously done a terrific job. If you would have told me there would be no major disasters in 17 years, I would have thought you're crazy. There's no way that's possible. But somehow, you pulled it off.
The thing that I thought that I was going to see after 9/11 was I was thought we were going to start seeing ground level like vehicular bomb attacks, which
right.
They've tried to do one or two in New York. They tried to do one in Times Square, and NYPD, to their credit, they found it, they defused it, they stopped it. I sort of think there was a bit of dumb luck in on it, but being able to respond quick has a lot to do with it. Then they caught the guy that did it, which was
right.
really impressive. So,
well, we expect, and I think, a lot of suicide bombers. So how do you stop something like that? You know, so
it's pretty difficult in England, where you know, they have CCTV all over the place, which I'd be surprised if New York City doesn't have that now. But when you have CCTV all over the place, but you're allowing vehicles to come into the city, you might just have a really good seat when one of those go up.
Right.
And I guess it helps in identifying where it's at and everything, and helps you move resources into place. But then it's largely reactionary, isn't it? And the truth is that nothing's happened in New York City since 9/11, as far as I know.
Right.
So,
and that's
off.
What it is. There's so much focus on what could happen. This is on a physiological level. So many of our nervous systems are getting stuck in fear. I mean, fear is supposed to be a temporary, you know, a lion comes out and you run away and you kind of calm down. But so many of us are living a life like running a marathon being chased by a lion. So that's, you know, it's taking its toll. And, you know, there's a lot to be said that we know about post-traumatic stress, but a lot of people don't know about post-traumatic growth. There are so many people that come through adversity and disasters, and their life actually improves for the better afterwards. And I think those stories are important. That's my story after 9/11. So I think the more we hear that, we give people a target that's not always doom and gloom.
After that happened, when, you know, the object of terrorism is to get people to change the way they live.
Exactly.
Did that occur in New York?
I think it did. I mean, I think there were family guys who turned around and said, life's too short, and they went out and became crazy party people, and other people who are party guys, and they turned around and said, this is life's too short, I'm going to be committed to my family. So I think it caused everybody to prioritize and reexamine their lives and reflect and make some changes. But, you know, a lot of people had trouble going over bridges because this threat was ongoing. It seemed like inevitable before something else was going to happen, and you were constantly bombarded with visuals and images on TV, so nobody got a break from that, which is unlike any other emergency any of us were at. You know, you go to it, it's after a couple hours, it's on, you're on to the next thing. This thing never ended.
Right. When I ask if that people change, besides changing and prioritizing and looking at life as something much more precious than they did before that day, did anybody operate in fear?
Yeah, absolutely. Some people
yeah.
just never really recovered, we lost a lot of guys. Not only the guys who died, but other people who where they can never get their lives back on track again. People turn towards alcohol. People turn different ways of trying to cope because the job they loved, the friends they knew, so much changed that day. They never could get back. They want to go back to September 10th, and they never can get back there.
Yeah. How many firefighters succumbed after 9/11 due to everything they inhaled that particular day?
Hundreds of firefighters have died of World Trade Center illnesses.
And that number is going to keep on growing for a while until they're gone, isn't it?
Keep on going. That's the shadow that keeps chasing all of us. You know, thank God I've been pretty healthy, but you're just waiting for that cancer or something to happen, which again, this is the legacy after disaster that most people don't talk about.
Yeah. For how close to, I'm presuming that you were right up on top of the remnants of the building, so you were inhaling some stuff too, but did you have oxygen or anything? Did rebreathers, anything to help you out with that?
No, because most of us, you know, we were down there without our fire truck, so we just, you know, grabbed what you can grab, and you're just kind of crawling through voids and breathing in that smoke those first couple of days because, you know, we're trying to find people. I think afterwards, then they got a handle on it, and they did a pretty good job making sure everybody was equipped. And that was what was so touching. There were just thousands of people lined up. Did you need a water bottle? You need gloves? I mean, the way people rallied together. And to me, it's still, when I look back, it puts a smile on my face that, you know, how we did come together as a nation and as a people.
I think the soft spot is still there for you guys, for those that you lost and for those of you that have to deal with it. It certainly is with me. I mean, I would consider, you know, running into one of you guys like I would one of my Army buddies. So, you know, I look at that as some a trauma, the kind of trauma that only people that have been in it can know. And I can only imagine what the civilians went through. I mean, you know, they don't have that mindset, so.
Right.
Them looking at it from the civilian's lens had to be horrible, so.
Right, and I think that bonding could also get in the way. The firehouse is so much like the Army. You're just doing everything together. You're spending every moment laughing and then, you know, yelling and getting angry. And it's just high. The secret to any relationship is really based on the quality of engagement. And the engagement levels are so high in the military and the firehouse, right? And yet what happens in so many of these relationships is you don't know how to talk about a lot of these things. So the engagement levels really start to plummet over time.
Yeah.
And it's the distance just takes over, and we get help turning off our feelings, but we don't get help turning them back on at home. And I think that's really what I'm trying to help our soldiers do.
Yeah, well, that somebody needs to. Somebody knows what they're talking about. And that's where somebody like you comes in that successfully negotiated that very, very treacherous field that you had to run through that obstacle course. I can, you know.
Image that it's weak. And, you know, to talk about these things, that real men keep it to themselves. And that stigma keeps a lot of us alone and then blaming ourselves when, you know, we have these just natural feelings. So I think when somebody like you is willing to have this conversation or somebody like me, we don't lose our macho-ness just because we're able to kind of say, hey, we felt a little stuck or helpless. And, you know, and we can let people who get it come closer to us. It makes a huge difference to our nervous system, how we deal with stress. And what I'm trying to encourage is exactly what you did in the military. You wouldn't kind of do that alone. Having other people there makes all the difference.
Yeah. Well, we're going to revisit this, George, and I want to thank you for joining me. Godspeed on the mission, and I'm glad you're still here with us.
Well, Bill, thank you for keeping a memory of all these guys alive, and you know, I applaud you for making sure that we don't forget this day.
There you go. I will talk to you soon. Hour 3 is inbound. Coming up next, Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. Frustrated by your lack of shooting accuracy? Mantis X can help. Mantis X is an electronic coaching system that analyzes your shooting mechanics, diagnoses your issues, and recommends improvements, all in real time. Attach the motion sensor to your gun, pair it with our free coaching app on your phone, and start shooting. Mantis X shows you what you're doing wrong. Use Mantis X 3 ways: live fire, dry fire, or airsoft. Shoot, analyze, improve. MantisX.com. Cheaper Than Dirt is America's ultimate shooting sports discounter. We sell it for less because we can. From ammo and gun to optics, from hunting and shooting to survival gear, we have everything for the outdoors. And all high-quality brand-name product from your favorite manufacturers. Enjoy the Cheaper Than Dirt Rewards program, where every dollar earns points and gets you more gear. At Cheaper Than Dirt, we sell it for less, and it's all in stock and ready to ship.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.